All right, we've been in this series on the church, taking a look at what the Bible has to say about what the church is, who its members are, what it should be, its purposes in the world. And we started by saying again, we're just going to review a bit, that the church is the steward of the truth in the world, okay? The gospel truth, that we were sinners against a holy God, and that we were destined for an eternity apart from Him because of our sin, and yet God sent His Son to save us, to reveal who He is, to pay for our sins, so that we could live with Him forever. This is the one central truth in the world that we can know and hang our lives on, and the church is called to steward that truth and to declare it to the world, okay? And the church is made up of those, its members are made up of those that confess Jesus as Lord and have been baptized into His name. Those are those that make up the church. And so Jesus is making this new society of redeemed people with transformed hearts and minds that live for Him, as we've been singing about. And last week we talked about how the church has been designed by God to be a place where Christians, its members, can grow, right? Grow into maturity in faith, grow into the image of Christ that we're being called to. And so beyond our personal time with God, I would say church is the most important place where you can grow in the Lord. It has been in my life. We're going to take another step today and talk about part of how we grow as Christians is learning how we individually, as we read in our passage today, have been gifted by God, and how God intends to use those gifts in the church to minister to the other members so that we all grow up in Christ and fulfill our purpose to proclaim the gospel. And so this morning we're going to look at what it means to serve in the church, and we're going to call this sermon, "The Church, a Body on the Move," which we had a lot of those yesterday, which is pretty fun. And so this is what we want to see this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have been gifted and called to serve in the church, and particularly a local church body. You have a role to play in building up this group of people that God has given to you until we become mature in Christ. Okay, so the question this morning for us is, where are you serving? Right? Everybody loves that question. Where are you serving in the church? You know, think about this. When you don't serve, you won't experience the growth God has for you. You won't. And when you don't serve, others don't experience the blessing and the growth God intends to do through you to others in the body. So we need you to serve. God wants you to experience growth and be together. As we get into this morning, I have an exciting announcement to make about somebody that said, "I want to use my giftings in the church." So as many of you have been praying about, we've been thinking and praying for a new children's minister, and I thank you guys for doing that, and I'm happy to say that we've hired one. Okay? I'll keep dragging this out for anticipation's purpose. So we had a team of 5 people. We had myself and Mike Kirby as elders of the church on this team, as well as Paula Potter and Wendy Cotting and Angela Johnston that reviewed resumes, did the interviews, and then prayed hard for about a week and came to a decision about who we want to serve as our children's minister. We interviewed several candidates, but really felt like God was leading us to one, and then we presented that also to the elders as a whole, and they signed off on this as a great, affirm the decision that we were making. So, you want to know who it is, don't you? Should I draw it out some more? Should I talk about this person's character? No. All right, so our new children's minister is going to be Jen Brown. So stand up, Jen. Yeah, we're super excited about this. You know, we started the process and then began talking with Jen and just thought, you know what, her giftings really align with this. She's been doing childhood education for many, many years, and God has blessed her in that, and she has a heart for the Lord and the gospel. And so we're excited to get her going in the church, serving in this capacity. So thank you, Jen. We're excited to get you going. So for us, and this is a good example, as believers, the church is meant to be a place where we are to grow in our giftings so that we can use them as God designed so that others can be built up. And so we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about serving in two things today. One, God's design for us to serve in the church. And then secondly, how we can serve well. And so really, what should healthy service in the church look like? So let's talk about God's design for believers to serve in the church by looking at kind of a general call to service here. You know, we heard 1 Corinthians chapter 12 read this morning and various things. And we've read it over a couple different parts, but it gives us this grand metaphor of the church as this body, right? This is the embodied Christ in the earth, on earth. Like God indwells us, he indwells each one of us individually, and yet together we make up his body. We're all organs and part of Christ's body. Think about this. It's just like creation, actually, that God has designed each one of us, as he has parts of the world, for a very specific function in the body gifted by his Spirit. Okay, like God had in mind when he saved you somewhere very specific for you to plug into and bless the church and glorify God. And if the body is going to work well, right, if our bodies are going to work well, we need all our parts to be functioning. We know what happens when they don't work well. And so we want the church to function really well and proclaim the gospel to the world and grow its members. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6 showed us that God by his Spirit gave gifts to each member of the church, a variety of tasks, as it says, for the common good of all of us, and then outwardly towards the world. This is similar to what we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, where it told us that God gave gifts of leadership to the church to equip you all for ministry so you can minister to each other and build each other up in Christ until we're mature in faith. So again, what we're saying here is if you are a believer in Jesus, you have been gifted and called to serve in the body of Christ. Okay, the Bible is very clear on that. You have an important role to play. In fact, we have this on our discipleship wheel. This is why we have this here, that one of the spokes would be service, because a disciple, right, a life that is worshiping God with all that it is, part of what it does is it serves with the giftings that God has endowed it with. And so we want to figure out what those are. So what are the giftings, you might say? We heard a lot in these passages. We'll just review a few here. You know, we often tend to think about the more miraculous spiritual giftings of the Spirit when we think of spiritual giftings, and those are in here most definitely, like 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, talks about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And those are pretty fantastic, right? And we like to think on those. And so did the Corinthians, by the way, if you read the book of Corinthians. They were all about those things. But those are only some of the giftings, right? And as we'll see, God has said there's a variety of giftings. In fact, Romans 12, 6 tells us this: we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And then Paul says, let us use them. Okay, so he's saying you all have a gift, but they're all different. And that was God's decision. Okay, so don't get mad about your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor has a really awesome gift, and you're like, how come I don't have that one? Well, that was God's decision, right? But use the one you got, because we need yours. Okay? It's important to see here, right? Everyone's given a gift, but they differ according to God's grace. And it's not even the magnitude of the gift or the perceived importance, but rather the exercise of what God has given you. That's the important piece. So don't get hung up on which one you have. Use the one you got. And so we might be asking ourselves this morning, are you using your gifts for the building up of the body? Do you even know what they are? This is what we got to figure out. Here's a few more. Here's what Romans 12, 6 through 8, here's how it says it. It talks about here's how you ought to use your gifts. You ought to use them in faith. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in his generosity. The one who leads with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So notice the list there. We have prophecy, service, just general service, teaching, exhortation, financial generosity, leadership, and acts of mercy. And Paul says you ought to exercise any gift you have in faith, with great generosity, with zeal, with cheerfulness. Right? Is that how you think about serving in the church? A lot of us don't go that direction, right? But this is what we're supposed to do. Find your gift and put it out there. Use it for the glory of God and enjoy it. That's what Paul is saying. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, he also lists even gifts of helping and administration. I am so happy that God has gifted some people in this, right? There's not a day that goes by that I don't thank God for the people like Jackie Soltis or Kelsey Conroy, right? Jackie's our office manager, or Kelsey, who do these works of organization and a lot of the background things so well, right? That frees others of us up to use our gifts if God has called us. If I had to do the finances all day long, my sermon would not be well studied, right? And so it takes all of us to function well. And so it may not be glamorous, but right, God has designed us and given us our giftings, and it's up to us to begin to use them to build up the body and care for the church. You know, think about this too. The Bible even tells us that our creative abilities come from the Spirit. Okay, think about this. We don't often read this one either. Exodus 31, 3 through 5. It talks about the guys that God gifted for the craftsmanship of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Here's what it says. It says, these guys I have filled with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft, to make the Ark of the Covenant and the tent of meeting and all the furnishings. God even gifts us with abilities that can be used for his glory, right? And that may be where you are, right? Some of you have great giftings in your work, and those things also are good for the church, right? And so we need not to discount those. Finally, I might even add this. You know, we can even talk about the plain old fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. While surely these are meant to be demonstrations in our life, things that all believers should be growing in, that shows we have a heart transformed by God, some of us have been gifted in these and are a gift to the church. You ever met somebody that is just gifted in joy? Like, they are great to be around. I love those people in my life because that's not my number one gifting. And so they are a good gift to the church, those that are joy, or those that are peacemakers, right? In the church, that can bring people together in the church. What a gift to the church. And so think about your gifting. What Paul is showing us here is that every believer in Jesus is gifted to serve in the church using God-given, from very practical to very miraculous gifts. Find what yours is and let's use it. This is a great place to use it. God is calling you to do that. As James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Our gifts are not meant to build us up, but rather to be used in service to building up this church into maturity in Christ. They all come from God to do God's work. And that's why Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 4:7, then what do you have that you have not received? Right? What do you have to boast about? This all came from God. It's not about you. It's about what God's doing and you joining with God to bless this people. And it all came from him. So you as a believer have giftings from God to be used in the service of this body to build it up. And if you're not serving in the church with your giftings, listen, you are missing out on what God has for you. It's as simple as that. As fellow members of the body, we're also missing out on the growth and the blessing that God intends to do through you when you don't serve. In fact, I go this far to say this. It would be a waste of your life not to learn how God has gifted you to serve in the church. It'd be a waste of your life. That's a life wasted as a believer in Jesus. In fact, I might even go so far to say, it would be sinful not to use your giftings in the church. Think about that. God is saying, this is how he's designed it. This is what he wants to do. It's up to us to join him in what he's calling us to do. I want you to think about this. Think about the most influential Christian person you've had in your life, right? It's been a couple pastors and friends in my life. May have been a pastor, Bible study teacher, friend that taught you about the gospel, that shepherded you or discipled you. Where would you be if they hadn't decided to give to the Lord? Where would you be? Right? God used them to bless you and to grow you. What if they had just spent more time recreating, working at their job, making more money, instead of pouring into you and serving the Lord? The church misses out when you withhold your time and your talents and your treasures from what God wants to do through you. And guess what? It will have eternal consequences for somebody. Right? God wants us and is calling us. There's a cool thing about our service. You know, lots of times we talk about God's will for our life. It's popular to say this, right? I want to figure out what God's will for my life is. Especially if you're under 30 and that age kind of keeps growing up higher. Like, what does God want me to do? What's God's will for my life? I once heard a great sermon at our favorite little beach church that we go to when we go on vacation in Florida, and it really caught me. The pastor was talking about service in the church, and he said this phrase. He said, serving in the church is the pathway to the future God has for you. Think about this for a second. What's he saying here? He's saying as you begin to serve, you learn more and more about who you are and how God has gifted you, who he's created you to be in Christ. And so it shows you where you'll be most fulfilled as a citizen of the kingdom. Well, let me say it in other words. He's saying, look, jump in and serve, and you'll discover who God has created you to be. This is so important for us. We're often always paralyzed by what's next, right? I don't want to do the next thing till I'm sure what I got, you know, what God's calling me to do. Some of us even have big dreams about doing things for the Lord or doing ministry things for him, but you're kind of like waiting for the right moment, and it's got to be the right situation, and that's actually the wrong way to go about it. God says, get in there and see what I've gifted you to do. I can remember back when I was feeling called to ministry many years ago now. And I would say this, you know, I feel like God's called me to do this. And so I had two pastors, and praise God for them. One said, well, if that's what God's called you to do, why aren't you doing it? Why don't you leave my Bible study tonight? And I did. And it was terrible. Right? And another one said that to me. He said, why don't you lead this mission team? And what happens is you jump in there and you begin to see what are you gifted at? What do other people see in you? How has God designed you to be? There's a great book a couple years ago, and I'd recommend it to everybody who wrestles with this. It's called by Kevin DeYoung. It's a book called Just Do Something. Right? This would be my advice to everybody under 30. If you don't want to live in mom and dad's basement, right? You want to have the nice things of life and do great in life, then just do something. Like, this is how you get there. Jump in and try and see what you do. What are the giftings you have? What has God designed you to be? What brings you joy as you do it? And what do other people affirm in you in this body? And so this morning I want to challenge you to just do something. You know, listen, I don't want the 20% of people in this church that do a lot of the work to feel like they need to do more. That's not what this is about. This is about everybody finding their place to serve and fulfilling our God-given calling and gifting. Now, here's a cool thing. The church has a voice in our service are serving too. God, you know, God really speaks to us in three ways, and this could be a whole sermon, so we're just going to hit this quick. But there's a little graphic I like here. God speaks to us in three ways. At the top, we have the most sure way, which is God's word. You can bank on it. That's what God has said. Secondly, down in the bottom, you have the church there. God speaks through this body. And thirdly, I would say God speaks directly into our heart, and the Holy Spirit speaks through all of those. And really, these work as checks and balances. If you think you read something in the Word, well, the Spirit ought to witness to your heart, and the church ought to go, yeah, that's what God said. And you can kind of do that vice versa. If you heard something at church, and you check it with the Word and go, I don't know that's what God said, and your spirit's feeling a little off, then maybe God didn't say it. So this is kind of a good way to think about it. But what I want you to see here is that the church should have a voice in your giftings and callings, okay? So as you begin to step into these things and you're trying to figure out what God's calling me to do, begin to do them and see what the church also, how they respond. Do they affirm your calling? Do they encourage you? Or do they go, maybe not for you, right? I can think about who's old enough to remember special music in church. Praise God. You know, you get crazy singer of a crazy song like Christmas Shoes. And the song is bad enough, but worst of all, the sister can't sing either. Or the guy. Could be a guy. And it's not the loving thing to not pull this person aside and say, you know what? I don't think you're called to do this. Right? In fact, there was a movie a couple years ago about Florence Foster Jenkins. I don't know if she's related to me. But she was a New York heiress who wanted to be this opera singer. And so everybody just agreed and played along. And so she went and did this whole opera concert, but she couldn't sing a lick, right? That's not loving. We need to be willing to listen to the church and what it speaks into our life as we begin to serve so that we can find our way to what God has called us to do. And the church has a part in that. So let the church speak into your life and affirm your callings and giftings. Finally, I'd say this about kind of the God's design. Part of the reason it's so important to be a member in a local church is because this is a local expression of Christ's body. And when you commit to this body, you're saying, I'm committing to use my time and my talents and my treasures right here. And so we know as a body, we can look at you and say, can you help? Right? Can you help us grow in Christ? Can you help us reach this culture? And we know that you are a part of what we're doing, and we commit to you to shepherd and look over your soul. Let me give one final word on this part here. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, he says this about God's design and our serving. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's good steward of varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves through the strength that God supplies. That's what we sung about earlier. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ. Okay, this is God's design, that you would find your gifting and you would serve this body one to another so that we would all grow in Christ and the gospel would be proclaimed and Jesus would be glorified. Now we've been doing a lot of thinking about this as a staff team. And so I'm going to actually invite up Kelsey and several of our other staff members because they have a new way that we're working at how to help you guys find a place to serve. And so they're going to share just a minute or two about how to do that. And then we'll look lastly at how to serve well in the church.
Yeah, so our little team has been meeting and working really hard to revamp our volunteer process. So in light of that, we are excited to tell you, like, we just want to connect everyone in our body in a way to utilize their spiritual gifts. So we want to help you find where God has called you to use your gifts. And how are we going to do that? Well, we have a form in the lobby, and we're going to be out there after the service. So if you haven't already filled it out, come find us. And we even have a spiritual gifts survey. So if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, this is kind of a little helpful nudge to help you see maybe a place where God wants you to serve. And additionally, we have a volunteer orientation on July 27. This is for current and interested volunteers. And so we're going to talk about serving at Risen Life. Please put that on your calendar. And I want to say, too, thank you just to those of you who are already joyfully and faithfully serving. We love you guys. You're the coolest. Thank you. And yeah, we're just excited to help you guys find a place to use your gifts. So come find us and talk to us.
Woohoo. Thank you. Again, thank you to those that God has given gifts of organization and administration. And these guys have been working really hard at that. Okay, let's talk now about the nature of our service, how we can serve well in the church. What does healthy service in the church look like? First thing I'd say is you need to look to Jesus as your primary example of what service looks like. Okay, Philippians 2, 1 through 11. This is the example of Jesus becoming a servant to serve us. It talks about how Jesus emptied himself. He humbled himself to serve others. He left the splendor of heaven to lay down his life for us in love, okay, in the dirt of the earth. And so what I want to say to you, serving costs you something. It costs you something to serve. You have to lay down part of your life for other people, right? You have to give up of your time, talents, and treasures as you pour yourself out for others. You know, we live in a nice part of Salt Lake City. This is no secret, right? And many of us are more than willing to write a check than to actually be present to serve. We'd rather write a check for someone else to serve than actually serve ourselves. And as we saw, generosity is actually a gift, and praise God that you guys are so generous as a church. But I want to challenge you this morning to give of your time and your talents as well. We need you. Everybody here needs you. And God wants you to give of yourself. A step for growth for many of us would be to give up some of your me time to serve in the church. Even our church's approach to our staff over the last many years has been to pay people to do the work of ministry. But I want you to see something. We need a little shift here. I've been thinking a lot about this week. We need to shift to what the Bible's talking about here. We're actually here to equip you guys to do ministry. And so we need so many of you to step up and say, you know what? I want to serve this body. I want to use the giftings that God has given me. I love our staff. We have a great staff, but Bible's calling us to make a little shift here and to serve and minister to one another as a body. Paul also tells us the primary attitudes reflected in Christ's service, that she would be the attitudes we have. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, he says, look, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. We can just meditate on that verse all day, right? Service is meant to move our hearts from our navel gazing, right, looking at our own belly and focusing on ourselves, instead to lift up our heads, to look around and focus on everybody else around us and not ourselves. Paul is showing us here we should serve like Jesus by caring for others. You know, often we want to just serve to get those photos on Instagram and whatever other social media things. But that is a me-focused service, right? Bible teaches a service focused on others. In fact, Jesus says in Mark 10, you want to be great? Become the servant of others. Right? This is how he's called us to serve. Even the Son of Man, he says, himself, came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And when you put others first in your service, you get to live out the gospel in so many tangible ways. That I would lay my life down for you. That's the gospel, right? What Jesus did for us. Paul, even in his own serving, he's showing us how he's servant like Jesus. In Philippians 2:17, he said, look, I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial offering of your faith, and I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In other words, I am giving up my life so that you would grow in the faith, and I'm happy about it. I didn't say that very happy. It sounded mad, but no, he's happy about it. One important way to set others' interests above your own is to be dedicated in your service, okay? This is going along with Jesus' attitude. You know, we have lots of willing hearts in this room, but few are willing to be on a schedule and be dedicated to be here. Think about this for a second. I hear this all the time. Look, if I'm here, I can help. Well, again, I appreciate the willingness, but really hard to organize volunteers that might be here. Think about this for a second. It'd be pretty exciting Sunday if me and Sean said that week by week, well, if I'm here, I'll preach a sermon. And Sean said, if I'm here, I'll play the guitar. Well, what happens when we're both at the lake? That's really a me-focused service, okay? Because most of us want to keep our options open for something better that might come along in our life. But God is calling us to lay down our lives, to give up of ourselves, our time, our talent, our resources, our other options, right, to serve this body. It costs you something. Be dedicated. I want to challenge you as a church to be dedicated so that we can count on you, right? Even if it's for a time and a season, not indefinitely. How can you put others' interests above your own and serve like Jesus? How can you serve with a new Christ-like attitude that's not about you? That helps us get to this other step. And I love this one. This one challenges me all the time. Don't grumble or complain, the Bible says. Okay, Philippians 2, 14 through 18. Do all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine like a light. You know, the Bible is really one big story about complaining. Think about this. From day one, God's people complained. And God says in the New Testament, that's actually why you fell into all the bad things that you came into, because you weren't thankful, you wouldn't do what I said, and you just complained about all of it. And Paul says in the New Testament, don't complain, right? As followers of Jesus, be thankful. Do things in thankfulness without complaining. You know, my house is a pretty happy place until it's time to do dishes and fold laundry. I don't understand the problem. Nobody likes to do this. If you remember the old movie, The Breakup, I've referenced this before. Horrible movie, don't watch it. But the guy in there, Jennifer Aniston, says to Vince Vaughn, I want you to want to take out the trash. And he says, who wants to take out the trash? Like, I don't want to do that. It takes a transformed heart by God to say, you know what, I'll do that, and I'll do it as service to Jesus. Right? I don't want to do it always, but I'll do it because I know it's the right thing to do, and I know it serves this body really, really well. This comes back to what we said last week. Our discipleship should look like our parenting, and our parenting should look like our discipleship. Part of what you're doing when you train your kids to be obedient and do these tasks that they don't want to do is training them to serve the Lord well in thankfulness and cheerfulness, right? So kids, let's learn to serve our families without grumbling, right? Because God wants you to do the same thing in His family. He's teaching you to serve in the church. And parents, let's be a good example and do our tasks without grumbling and complaining. Let's serve in the church without grumbling and complaining. And Paul says that'll set you apart in the world. Like a light, you'll shine for the gospel. Why is he so happy as he does that? Because that's a horrible task. You know, I often think about Tono Rodriguez, who is sitting over here. Tono is the best servant I've ever seen in my whole life. He would never admit to that because he's too humble. Tono is the best servant. He never complains even in the worst jobs because he does it to the Lord, right? And that moves us to one of our points here is how we serve well is do your work for God and not for men. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving Jesus. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible about serving. Easy for us today to not want to serve because our culture teaches us only the guy that's in charge is important, right? That's not biblical. Furthermore, we don't want to build up anyone else's kingdom but our own, so why would I give to theirs? So we serve, and then we get hurt because maybe we don't get the recognition that we want out of the service. Maybe whoever organized the service team took advantage of those on their team and for their own gain or for their own good. The Bible says that's not good either. And so we say in our hearts, I'll never do that again. Wrong attitude, right? While surely leaders need to be that are called need not to take advantage of those who are serving and do it well, Jesus tells us actually the answer to our heart's conundrum that may keep us from serving. He says, when you serve, you do it as worship to me and nobody else. Whatever you do, heartily do it for the Lord. Jesus says, when you serve like this, your service will never be forgotten, and you will be recognized, and you will be rewarded by Him. Okay, this is important. So as you serve, let your heart do it for Jesus, and it'll always be a win. Listen, this is similar to giving. The Bible teaches us over and over again how it is important for us to be willing to give from our resources to God. And in the Bible, God is more concerned about our heart attitude towards giving than actually what the money gets spent on. Think about that for a second. So you may give to a church or an organization, and they may not steward your resources exactly like you would like, but the important thing before God is you're willing to give, right? God's in charge of the other. God keeps the other accountable. And it's the same thing in our service. God is more concerned with your heart and your heart position towards serving as worship to Christ than necessarily what gets done. And you can have great joy doing the most mundane tasks if your heart is singing to God as you do it. Then whether those in charge handle your service well or not doesn't matter. You've given to Jesus and that will last forever. It's been a great solve to my heart to think of the ministries I've been a part of that have fallen apart and gone various different ways for whatever reason, because I know even in those times and places, I served with all of my heart to the Lord, and it will never be forgotten. It was good, right? Because of what God was doing through me in my heart. Never wasted time if done for Jesus. Hebrews 6:10 says this, God is not unjust as to overlook your work and the love you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, He's saying, look, God sees service in His name in the church and is pleased with it and will never forget it. And so you ought to be motivated to do it. Don't be sluggish, but imitate those of great faith and patience that have served their whole life for Him. Benji, come on up here. And finally, when we think about how to serve well, the Bible says this, and we're going to talk a lot about this next week, but do everything with love, right? This is how we serve well. 1 Corinthians 13, just beyond chapter 12 that we read, tells us that we should do everything in love. It says, look, you can speak in tongues. You could be the greatest prophetic spiritual speaker that ever was. You can understand all the mysteries of the faith. You could move these mountains over here out into the Salt Lake. You could even become a martyr for Jesus. You could be burned at the stake, it says. But if you don't serve this body in love, it says you're like a clanging cymbal. You have done nothing of value and you have gained nothing. Right? This is where we're to grow. Far too many examples in the church of service done without love. Love is one of the main ways we are to grow as believers in Jesus into maturity. Love for God and love for our another. This is the place where you get to practice in the schoolyard of the church. How am I going to love that person like God loved me? That's what our service is about. And we grow in our love as we begin to serve. And when you serve others, you begin to experience and understand the very heart of God towards you, how He laid down His life for you, right? This is what it's all about. This is about experiencing and growing in the gospel. Galatians 5, 13 and 14, Paul says, look, you're called to freedom, brother. You can say that in your best macho man Randy Savage voice. You're called to freedom, brother. We love that as Americans on Memorial Day. But then he says this, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. but through love serve one another. That's the whole law fulfilled in the one word, he says. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul's saying, look, in Jesus, God saved you. There's nothing you need to do to be saved. You are saved by grace. You can do whatever the heck you want that is holy, right, and good. And Paul says, you know what you ought to do? You ought to lay down your life and serve people in that church. And you'll learn what it means to love God and love people. Give of your time, your talents, and your treasures as a fragrant offering of worship to Jesus, and you'll never be sorry. Bottom line here this morning, you are gifted and called to serve in this church, and this body needs you. God has called us to be his people, to be a body on the move, right? And we don't move well without everyone. Where is God calling you to serve? Like, let's explore that together. Find your giftings and your callings. You may not know how you're gifted, but jump in there. Let's do something together. See how God is calling you. I'm challenging you this morning. Get involved, right? Find your place of service. Find how you're gifted. See how God will grow and mature you in this body as you do. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you that you humbled yourself. You left the splendor of heaven to come and serve us in this playpen of dirt, God. Thank you that you loved us even when we were your enemies, and you laid down your life for us. God, as we confess you as Lord and believe that Jesus is the only way, it's only through his grace we are saved. Would you help us to lay down our life as worship to you, to the other people in this room, and love and serve them with everything we are. And God, may you bring us great joy and grow us like never before. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.